All right. Hello, my friends. Welcome to another episode of Heart and Hustle, Visionary Healers, Movers, and Shakers. And I am your host, Paulette Rees-Denis, your magic maker, your movement motivator, your passion instigator, and your interview host for this series of Heart and Hustle. So excited to bring you a gentleman from South Carolina. Is
Myrtle
that right?
Beach, South Carolina.
South Carolina. Mike Oglesby is with us today, and we're on very similar paths. So I'm really excited to have a chat with you, Mike. Welcome to my podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm really excited to talk with you, to share with you, and to, just really speak with a like-minded person. It's a like a breath of fresh air.
Love it. Love it. And have a good time while we're doing it.
Absolutely.
So right on. So I have, well, first of all, I love your Instagram. I was just checking out all your quotes on Instagram. You've got some beautiful, beautiful quotes, and I might pull that
Thank
up
you.
in a little bit and read some of them. But Mike is an acclaimed author. Do you have one of your books with you? I want to see your book.
I have the book that I released in 2020, Fight Back in the Cycles of Anxiety and Depression. I'm currently working on a project called Cracking the Rich Code. It's a series that's endorsed by Tony Robbins, which is really cool. The foreword by Brian Tracy. So I'm really excited to be part of that as a co-author. And later this year, I believe it's going to be later this year, and it could possibly be early next year. I've got a book that's going to be released called Bigger Than Fear.
And you talk a lot about fear.
Yes, those quotes that you mentioned that I have on Instagram, which I have on, several channels, those are all coming from my book, Bigger Than Fear.
Love it. Love that so much. And I also have written several books. This is my latest book, From Soulless Job to Creative Abundance. So,
Love it.
and working on my next poetry book, but that's a whole nother story. So, let me continue with your bio. I got a little sidetracked already. Helping people overcome their fears and mental health struggles since 2011. And you founded Maximize Mind, and you're in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. So,
Yes, that's my
drawing from his.
hypnotherapy and coaching practice. Yeah.
Cool, awesome. Drawing from his diverse and unique background, Mike has created a powerful, dynamic approach to address the root causes of personal and professional struggles. Love that. See, we're on the same page. Mike believes
Yes.
that knowledge is power and that we can empower ourselves to make positive life changes by understanding ourselves better. As a coach, mentor, and advisor, Mike devotes most of his time to helping people step into their power and reach their full potential. Amen.
Yes. Love it. Love it. Yes.
That's what we're here to do. That's right. I love it. So talk to me. So that I just read that little thing. So now tell me about yourself.
Well, I love helping people. I absolutely love helping people. It's my passion. Some people go to work. I don't go to work. I go to play. And this really is my passion. What I'm best at is helping people. And I think it's a lot of it's come from, how much I've needed help in my life. I've struggled with mental health issues my entire life. I mean, I can look at pictures from when I was a child, 6, 7 years old, and you could see something was wrong. Depression and, developing into anxieties and OCDs. And I mean, just, a lot of rebellion. My needs weren't met. I wasn't heard. I was suppressed. I was taught to go in this experiential avoidance, shut down my emotions. And I remember growing up, the whole theme of my life really was to fit in, to be accepted, because I never felt accepted. Being the youngest of three boys, I was always the one left out, or mom would say, take your brother with you. And I was always that third wheel. And all I really ever wanted was to be accepted, to fit in, to be involved. And so I found myself, my voice was suppressed because, being the baby, what I said was stupid, and there was a lot of embarrassment and humiliation. And so along with that comes a lot of overcompensation. And so as I grew through life, one of the biggest themes was to try to be accepted, and that's a form of conformity. And so I was always trying to do the right thing. And I remember always, I guess, evaluating things of, oh, this is cool or this is not cool. And it was based on the idea of what would be accepted based on where I came from, which really deprived me of a lot of things. And so that was what I sought. And along with that came a lot of anxiety, a lot of depression. Suicidal ideation started kicking in around 11, 12 years old. And it was just pain and suffering. Going through school, that didn't work out well. I didn't do well with school. Even though I wanted to be part of things, I just wasn't good being part of them. And so I ended up getting kicked out of school four different times, starting in the 7th grade. Never made it past the 10th grade.
You
Got involved
rebellious
with
thing, you.
drugs. I was a fighter. I fought everything and anything. And look, I think the path of rebellion is a wonderful path if it's utilized, right? Because
Agree.
we're just talking about going against the grain. We're talking about not conforming.
Right, well,
And
we're talking
so
about being true to ourselves.
authentic. Right. And it's really about being unapologetically authentic. And I think most people want to be authentic, but there's a lot of fear involved with that because it's one of the hardest paths, if not the hardest path you'll ever walk in your life. And there's a lot of things that you have to learn how to do along that path. First and foremost, you have to learn how to become comfortable being uncomfortable. Being the bad guy. I always say, when you can become comfortable being the bad guy, you're going to gain so much of your personal power because you're not the bad guy, but you're going to be made to be the bad guy in somebody's story because now you're showing them what they're not doing. And what everybody wants is to be completely themselves. But most people are unwilling to do that, And so you got to get
That's what
used
I'm
to going
always
through
saying
that.
is fly your freak flag. Come on.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, and
Stop.
you don't want to be somebody else. Like, everybody strives to be these people they view as great. And the people they view as great are the ones who are different. Yet they will step into conformity trying to be someone who is different. And it doesn't work. It's a direct conflict. And I often say as well, when you conform in that way, that is the ultimate act of betrayal. Because what
Oh
you're doing,
man,
Right, you're trying to avoid rejection, but you are rejecting yourself in the process.
wow. Yeah.
And
I
it
mean,
doesn't make any sense, but we don't think about it.
we all want to be part of something. And, I've always said, we make one big circle and there's room for everybody in that circle. We need everybody. All of you in your freakiness or your rebelliousness or whatever, right? That's what
I
makes
love it.
us.
And I am such an advocate and proponent of free will. I don't care if someone's making a bad choice. If that's what they want to do, that's exactly what I want them to do. We get caught up in judgment. Judgment's so big. It's so huge. I mean, look at today's culture. We got cancel culture. We got all this and that.
Oh,
And it's
yeah.
all based on judgment. But I cannot figure out one person. I've never heard of or seen one person who has the authority or the, I guess the true intellect and understanding to make or cast a judgment. All things are permitted in this system. All things, and it doesn't matter what it is. I mean, you can go to the extreme. You can look at serial killers, right? It's not something I condone. It's not something I think is right or good, but it's in the system, therefore it's allowed in the system. Everything is permitted. We all get to choose our own path.
Yes.
Now, I'm a proponent of don't cause harm to someone else. And if you do, right that wrong, because we're gonna do something. We're gonna hurt people. That's just part of life. Part of life is hurting yourself, hurting other people. But if we can mitigate that process, that's what we want to strive to do. But we want to give people the opportunity to be who they are. Right. If we all want to be authentic, then that means we have to be tolerant and acceptant of
Well,
other
and think
people.
about this. Here's a thought. If everyone is allowed whatever seen as being their true self, they don't need to cause harm to anybody else.
Absolutely. And so that's why it always starts with the self, right? I mean, if we could individually focus on ourselves and becoming the best version of ourselves, most everything that we struggle with in this world would disappear.
Absolutely.
And most people, they look at the world and they say, oh, there's so much evil in the world. There is no evil in the world. Imagine taking humanity off of the face of the earth. There would be no evil. There would only be nature. There would only be a natural process of evolution and expansion. You put people here, and then we take the evil within us, right? We take the evil within us and we express it in the world. But really, that's a reflection of the pain and the suffering that we're in.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so if we can go in and we can heal that and pay attention to those parts of ourselves, those shadow parts, those dark parts, and step into them, not run from them. We have a tendency of running because we don't understand the value of pain. And if we will sit in
Hold on,
that.
wait a minute. The
Ooh,
value of
the
pain.
value of pain.
People didn't
Yes.
hear that. Did you
The value
hear
of
that?
pain. It's one of our greatest gifts. And you don't hear this very often. It's one of our greatest gifts. Pain is an indicator. It's a symptom. It's not a problem. It can become problematic for you if you don't address what's causing it. But it's a symptom. It's there to let you know when there's a problem. Kind of like if you were to sprain your ankle, what would you experience? Pain.
Pain.
Right? Well, what if you sprained your ankle and didn't experience pain? Well, you'd keep walking on that foot, causing further debilitation. You might even debilitate yourself so much you can never walk on that foot again. And so when you heal the ankle, when you take care of the problem that's causing the pain goes away.
Well,
See,
and
the
that's
pain
the
had a
thing.
purpose.
That's the thing, though, is like fixing what the issue is, not what the result is.
Absolutely. And
And
that's a big deal
that's
because.
what happens so much now, I see, is that people are over medicating. They're just trying to get rid of the pain and not the problem, not what's causing it, right? To get down to.
And most things that we take medication for don't address the problem. They only address
Right.
symptoms.
Right.
And
Yeah.
if you address the symptoms and you get rid of the symptoms without addressing the problems, guess what? The symptoms are going to come back. Maybe not in the same way, maybe in a very different way, maybe in a worse way. But it's kind of like, think about it as life is trying to get your attention to let you know there's a problem. I truly believe that life has one mission and one mission only, and that is to help us get whatever it is that we most truly desire. And I
Absolutely.
don't mean our surface desires. Ooh, I want that car. I'm talking about the desires of the heart, your true self.
Yeah, we are here to live. We are here to experience and live in awe. I mean, I want to be awed every day.
Yes. And there's a way to do that. You can literally live that way. You know, I often say, and I was thinking about this the other day, most people, when they think of dreaming, they think of that subconscious process that happens while they're asleep at night. I wake up and I live in my dreams. And there's a way to do that. You can literally live in your dreams, but you have to understand life in a very different way. And so I live by the theory and the philosophy that everything in life is a gift. Every single thing, and especially the bad things, what we call the bad, the wrong, the painful, the suffering, those are all gifts. And if we are willing, and it takes, you know, first and foremost, we have to be willing, and most people aren't willing because they're too comfortable in their level of discomfort to go through that intense discomfort of dealing with what's, you know, continuing to propel the discomfort so they can be in greater states of peace and harmony. But if we're willing to step into these things and really look at them and dissect them and sit with them and transform them, because that's the only way you can transform them. And it starts an internal job. It's not an external thing. We start to see this world and we're like, oh, this situation, this circumstance, this condition, this is the cause of my pain and suffering. And so we go out here and we try to change that. And it doesn't change anything but the way it looks. But we still feel the same way. We still have the same experience. We call it a different name. It has a different style to it, but it's the same thing because we're creating it. We are creators. And if we can't believe in our power of creation, I mean,
Oh,
this is
man.
our free will in action, right? Choice. Every person, minus a child that has not yet grown to the ability to make their own choices, right? And so they rely on their parents or their caretakers or their environment. But every person that has the intelligence to make their own decisions, if they look at their life, they will see nothing more than a result of where their decisions have led them.
Sorry about that.
Right? That's okay. So, any person that looks at their life, they will notice that where they are currently is a product and a result of their choices.
Absolutely.
Now, it doesn't mean we choose everything that comes to us, but here's the really cool part. Though you don't choose everything that comes to you, you do get to choose what you do with it.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. I
It's
mean,
very simple. It's not easy.
people are so quick to put blame on something else, or it's their fault or it's their thing, and it's like, no, it's your choice.
Yeah,
You create the life
absolutely.
you want, you make all the choices, no one else does it for you, even though
Yes. And when
sometimes
you give
they
blame, you
say they
give
do.
your power.
I love it. Oh my gosh, this is so good. All
Yeah.
right,
I mean,
so
look, we can be a victim of something, right? We can be a victim of a crime, but a victim mentality means that we're not choosing the response that we give. And so we give our power away. And when you do that, you give the greatest gift, your ability to create, you give it away. And that's what most people, and we're taught to do this. We're literally taught to do this. But those of us who have said, you know what, this isn't good enough, and I want to tap into my power, those of us who have done that, we live a very, very different life.
Yes, and I can attest to that. I'm sure you can too.
Oh, yes.
We've all had probably reasons or things that have happened to us that we could fall into victimhood, right?
Sure. And we all do from time to time, but
And
you got to
you
pull
make the
yourself
choice.
out.
Exactly. You make the choice to not live that way and not blame others, and you make the life you want. That's
Yes.
it. I mean, that's
Yes.
all it comes down to is you make the life you want.
Yeah. And what stops us, what I find a lot of the times is, people look at change and they say, oh, change is hard. No, change isn't hard at all.
I love
Change
change.
is not hard at all. You change your clothes every single day. You change what you're doing every single day without a second thought about it. There's no difficulty in that. It's not that. The problem that we have is that we are unwilling to let go of the things that hold us in the space that we're in so that we can move to a new space. We've become dependent on the things that we've created. So we've become slaves to our own creation. That doesn't make sense. Right? That's like a king becoming a slave to his people. It doesn't make sense. It's our job to make sure that, look, when you come into this world, you have nothing. When you leave this world, you leave with nothing. You're not here to take things with you. You're not here to have things. You're here to experience the having of that. That's a temporary state. It doesn't
Absolutely.
matter who you are. It's temporary. And so we don't want to become dependent and allow things, especially physical things, to determine our livelihood and our quality of life. We must be willing to let go because when you let go, you don't lose. You open the space for more.
Exactly. You
I
open
mean,
up
that's beautiful.
to receive, open up to receive and to experience the experience.
Yes.
Experience the experience. That was
Yes, experience the experience. And that's all it is. It's an experience. You don't own nothing. You don't have anything. You're just in possession of it for a short period of time. Somebody else will have your car. Somebody had it before you, the house, everything.
So what's interesting? So I moved to Southern California, to Palm Springs, almost 5 years ago now. I can't believe it's been that long. But I had a couple houses in Portland, and I had rooms full of artwork, and I had rooms full of books, and stuff. You accumulate stuff, and it's beautiful, and it was gorgeous, and it made me happy, and all those things. But when I moved, it was like gone.
Yeah.
Just gone. I want nothing. I want a clean slate. I want to experience what I love now.
Yes. And you're going to evolve, you're going to change. You know, holding on to the past, that is literally, I mean, look, if you live in the past, you're going to be depressed. That's where it comes from, staying in the past. But you miss out on your present. I mean, the past doesn't really exist, does it? Right? It's just an idea you carry around in
People
you.
cling to that. They just
Yeah.
cling to the materialism, the consumerism, the memories even. And there's lots of memories. I mean, people were shocked. I said, I threw out all my photo albums, I threw out all my old journals, and they're like, ah! And I'm like, no, I'm going forward. Right.
Yes. Yes, you can only go forward if you let go of the past.
And you have
And
memories, you have those things, they
sure,
make
yeah.
who you are today, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. And
So,
who I'm becoming isn't dependent on me carrying that stuff in the past. In fact, it's quite the opposite. If I want to become who I know that I'm meant to become, and I'm meant to become who I've decided to become, and if I want that to happen, I have to allow myself to move forward, which means I have to release the past.
yes, thank you. Bam, you guys hear that? Bam. Let
Letting go is
that
the expansion. But what happens is we're so disconnected because, again, we're taught this. I call it a fear-based philosophy. We're taught that we don't have any power. And so what we do is we rely on things outside of ourselves to give us a sense of our own power. But for example, those photo albums, those books, those things, they didn't have any meaning, not on their own. You gave them the meaning that they had. So it's almost like you had that power that you gave to these physical things as a source or an anchor for you to go and tap into your own power, but now you perceive that your power is outside of yourself. So you've become so comfortable with the physical things that are disconnected from you, which is a representation of how disconnected from your power you had become. And we've all experienced this. Isn't it silly? But we don't think about this
that.
stuff. And I often say we're not taught how to think. We're taught what to think. Do this, don't do that. You go through school, you're conditioned,
Oh,
right?
you should have this, you should have that.
Right.
Right.
But it's all made up. It's everything is
Yeah,
made up.
who wrote
And this
that
is
book?
wonderful.
Who wrote
It's
that book?
wonderful. I often say we live in a world of imagination expressed. And how beautiful is that?
That is beautiful.
Anything made by humankind, everything was birthed in the imagination of people.
Yeah.
We created it all. We made it all up, all the institutions, all of the degrees, all the papers hanging on the wall, all the books, all this and that. We made it up in our imagination. And now that's the power. That's our ability to create.
That's
We
our
all
creativity,
have it.
exactly.
Why rely on somebody else's imagination when we can tap into our own
Right. And
and
so,
build our own world?
We were before we started recording, we were talking a little bit about music. And yesterday I saw an old recording. Do you know who Elvis Costello is?
Yes, I
Okay. He's
do.
one of my heroes. He's an amazingly prolific writer and musician. And I saw an old recording, like from 1999. But one of his songs is Every Day I Write the Book.
Oh, I like that.
Every day I write my book.
Every day, every moment we're right, and
Exactly.
that's what our lives are. They're stories.
Yeah.
Your life, when you think of
We
your life,
write
you're
it.
thinking of a story. We write it. We're the author. And you know, look, this is when you begin your journey into the awakening state and into the birth of your greatness, if you will,
Oh, the
it's
birth
hard to
of your
understand that.
greatness. Did you guys
Yes.
hear that?
That's where that choice, that's when you know, I mean,
That's so
like
good.
that's what changed the whole game for me. Right? Is when I learned that I had a choice. Now, but that's really difficult because it took me years. Years I was filling my head with Les Brown and this person and that person, anybody that had a good message, something that lifted me up and made me feel good and helped me to, I guess, connect with my power. And it took me many, many years. And you always hear these people that have made it. They're always like, keep going. The moment most people give up is right before the breakthrough, like a seed about to break through the ground, right? And it's like when is my breakthrough going to happen? I've been doing this for years. This isn't real. This isn't true. This doesn't happen for people like me. Yeah, you say it and you know it's easy for you, but you don't understand me. But if you keep going,
and there's that old story, right?
It happens. That's the old story. Absolutely. That's that narrative. And it took me years. And it didn't take me years to grow and to become different. It took me years to let go of the story that prevented me from becoming different.
Yeah.
It was so deeply ingrained in me.
All that self-sabotage.
Yes, that was my identity. I was the guy who, I mean, I was very popular, but it was for all the wrong reasons. I was popular because everybody knew the guy sitting at the principal's office, right? And so this was drilled in my head that I wasn't any good, that nobody liked me, anything that I said was stupid. I almost went and got a doctorate just so people would respect me. Well, that's nuts. That's absolutely nuts. But when I started respecting myself, people started respecting me. It all starts with the self. You got to start treating yourself good. You got to love yourself, because here's the hard truth of it. When you're beating yourself up, when you're putting yourself down, when you're criticizing yourself, when you're being really, really hard on yourself because you think that that's what's going to help push you ahead, that is self-abuse. That makes you both an abusive person and an abused person. And guess what? How far do you think you're going to get with that model of thinking? You've got to treat yourself as someone who deserves, as someone who's worthy, as someone who truly can and is capable of having what they want. And absolutely, when you do that, you will see it.
Yeah. And that's so much, you know, I work predominantly with creative women, and it's helping them step into their divinity.
Yes.
Honoring themselves.
Women,
that's men and women, both. But
absolutely.
Step into that place of we are sacred.
Yes. Yes. Like, especially younger women in their 20s, because I find that, you know, women will tend to get their power more so in their 40s and 50s as they get older. They start to realize, right? It's the younger women, and it's because they're drilled in their mind, oh, you got to look a certain way, you got to be a certain way, and da-da-da-da. They're trying to meet this mold that they've been given. But women are very, very powerful. And the sooner they step into their power, see, you know, my wife really taught me this. She said, you know, first and foremost, women need to start empowering other women.
Yes.
See, men, we think differently. We don't think in the same sense. Like a lot of the times, if you upset a man will hurt you. You upset a woman will destroy you. I mean, they will, right? They will go after you. They have this mentality of not being good enough because of what they see and what they hear, but it's not true.
Yeah.
Women are truly the key. They're the greatest gift, in my opinion, to men, right? Men rely on women. The men that go the furthest in life, they typically have a good woman behind them that supports them, that helps them believe in themselves, that lifts them up. And when a woman lifts her man up, he will lift her up and they will rise together. And that unity, that changes the whole game for just about anyone who has that.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to start lifting each other up. And I do think that women are the key because they're more in touch with that nurturing than men are on average.
But what happens with women is they get sucked into that invisible workload of taking care of everybody else except themselves.
Yeah.
So that's my, you know, my focus really in my coaching is to have you step into your power. I mean, everything we've been talking about, but you know, it's us first. It has to be us first. We can't do any work, men and women can't do any work if we're not connected. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's my belief, you know, body, mind, and spirit, to be spiritually connected, to be bodily connected, physically connected, so we can bring the best of ourselves, so we can honor our temple, our, like I said, we're sacred. Honor our temple so we can honor
Yes.
you.
Absolutely. The greatest gift that you could ever give to the world, and this is for anyone, the greatest gift you could ever give to the world, including the people around you, to your business, to your work, whatever that is the best version of yourself. It is absolutely the best thing and the most important thing you could do. Take care of yourself first. That doesn't mean negate or neglect your responsibilities.
Right.
If you have a hungry child and you're hungry, you're probably going to want to go ahead and feed your child first because you have the tolerance, you have the ability to go longer periods of time without that, right? So it doesn't mean neglect or negate your responsibilities, but also your number one responsibility is to make sure that you are taken care of so that you can do your work here on earth. You are first. You have to be your first priority in life. Then everything else will fall into place because if all these things depend on you, well, then you've got to be able to perform and function effectively. That means you have to take care of yourself. If you neglect yourself, guess what? You're going to be the one who needs the help, and nobody's going to be able to depend on you.
Yeah.
It's really simple. It's not easy because we're not taught this.
Right.
We're taught, I mean, that alone, I mean, really think about that.
It can be.
Can be simple. Yes. It's not easy. But I mean, we're taught this from a very young age. Imagine 4 years old, you're playing with a toy, right? And some other kid comes up and they try to take your toy. You snatch it back. They start crying. They go to your parent or the caretaker and they're, oh, they took this toy. They won't give me the toy. And what does the caretaker do? They come over there and they say, you've been playing with it long enough. Give it to them. Well, now you've just learned that their needs, their desires, their wants are more important than yours. And we're taught this. Everybody else is more important, which is a devaluation of ourself.
Yep.
Our whole life we've been taught this, and it's not true. It's absolutely not true. And it's devastating to a child. And it's devastating to any person.
Yeah.
And then we got a sick world, right? Because people's needs aren't getting met. We have to learn how to take care of ourselves. We have to nurture ourselves, and we
and
have to
only
pass
we
this
can do
along.
that. Only we can
Only
do
we
that.
can do that, right?
And that's the thing, when you start to think, oh, he didn't take good care of me, or he didn't give me this, or she didn't give me this. And it's like, you give it to yourself. Come
that's
on.
Right. Once you're out from under your caretaker's wing, you can blame them all you want, but it doesn't change anything. It's your responsibility.
Move forward.
Move forward. It's your responsibility. Oh, they should have taken care of me. Well, if you're not taking care of you, then why should they take care of you? Why should somebody else do something for you you're not even willing to do for yourself?
Yeah. Okay, so speaking of, I'm segueing here. Speaking of taking care of yourself, what do you do? Not work-wise, personal-wise, what do you do to take care of yourself?
Oh, I have a huge routine.
I bet you
My
do.
biggest thing is morning times. It is not unusual for me to spend 3 hours on myself every single morning.
Yay!
I start the day with myself and I end the day with myself. So I get up, I drink a full glass of water. You know, I want to take care of my body. This is my vehicle. It's important to me. Right. And so when you appreciate something, you take care of it. Right. Like when you think about the most valuable object that you have, you take care of that. Well, my body is very valuable to me because this is my temple.
It's all we got.
Right. I want to live for a very long time and I want to live in a healthy body. So I take care of my body. So I get up and I go and I drink my water. I'll take my supplements, whatever I take. You know, I like to take nootropics and things like that. I just really have found that I love the experience of taking certain types of supplementations. And so I'll take my supplements and then I'll go meditate for 25 minutes. And then right after that, this is one of the highlights of my day. I do a 20-minute gratefulness visualization practice. Now, the visualization practice, and it's typically taught that, you know, when you visualize yourself at the very end result, you know, living in what you're wanting to create. Now, the purpose of that, kind of like a vision board, is to stimulate a certain level of excitement or gratefulness or whatever that feeling of attaining that is going to create. So what I do is I jump into that and I start gathering that gratefulness energy, and I sit in that energy for 20 minutes, and I pump myself up, and I'm like, oh, thing. And I mean, I'm going full in here, you know what I mean? And I'm just really building it up, and I'm so grateful. Sometimes I'm crying, and I'm like, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. And so I'll sit in that for 20 minutes. That is one of the most effective practices I have ever done in my life. I do it for 20 minutes every single morning, and it has drastically changed my life. And so earlier I said, I live in my dreams. This is one of the ways that I'm able to live in my dreams, because there's two primary ways that we program the subconscious mind. One is through repetition, but the second is through high emotionally charged experiences. And so when I'm sitting in all that gratefulness, I mean, it is an explosion of energy. I get all hot and stuff. I mean, it's a lot of energy I'm pushing. And so that's a way of installing this expectation of having the things that I desire. Now, when it comes to manifesting things, you know, you don't hang on to it. You have to release it and let life bring it to you how life is going to bring it to you. And you really don't care how it happens. You really only care that it does. So this is my way of just, you know, programming myself, sitting in that expectation and living in my dreams. And it works magnificently well. Once I do that, I typically will work out or exercise. I do that for, you know, 5 days a week. And then I kind of just get on with whatever it is that I'm going to do for that day, whether it's working on some things for myself. Maybe I'm going to do some introspection. Maybe I'm going to break some certain parts of my life down and decide what is it that I really want in this part of my life, if there's some clarity that I'm wanting to gain. So that's how I start my day. And that practice, you know, can last up to 3 hours sometimes. So that's how I start my day. In
Love
the
it.
evening time, I lay in bed, I do breathing practices, you know, different things to help my body release any kind of stress. I'll do some vagus nerve stimulation, you know, in the evening time as well. I'm a tech geek, so I have a device called Pulsetto. It's not something that, you know, I sponsor or anything like that. I have no affiliation with them, but I really enjoy their product. It's a little device that goes around the neck and stimulates the vagus nerve. So I really enjoy that. It builds your resistance to stress and stuff like that. And in the evening time, as I'm laying down in bed before I go to sleep, I do a very, I guess, shortened version of my gratefulness. I thank, you know, whatever it is, myself, God, the creator, whatever it is that it is there for the day. And I reflect back on all the good things and any kind of, you know, choices that I would like to change moving forward, and just kind of evaluate myself and my day. So that's my self-care practice.
That's a beautiful practice. It's very similar to myself and what I teach as well. Because it's all about that connection and all about acknowledging ourself, right? And taking care of ourself and seeing what's possible, right?
Yes.
To be a
And I believe in the
possibilitarian.
possible.
Yeah. To
I
be a
believe in just about
possibilitarian.
anything.
Yeah. So
Yes.
good.
That's
Yeah.
where it starts, right? If you don't believe in the possibility, then you're not going to act on that. I
Yeah.
believe in the possibility. I don't have to see it. I know that creation comes from the imagination, and I can tap into that. That's my free will. I can do anything with that that I choose. Nobody can regulate that. Nobody can tell me it's right or it's wrong, or I should or I shouldn't. Nobody can touch that. And I don't ever let anybody intrude or impede on that part of my process. I go in there, that is my domain, and I do what I want. I believe in the
My
possibility
domain.
and take it. Yes.
Bam.
Yes.
So good. Oh, Mike, you're amazing. So fun. What a great conversation. Wow.
Yes.
And great to hear what you do for yourself. Great to hear the work you're bringing to the world and the books that you brought already and you're writing. And so good. It's so good. So
Life is good, isn't it?
it is good and it's exciting and full of adventure and curiosity and growth and expansion. And I was thinking about that the other day is like, there is never an end to the possibilities to the learning to the expansion. There's
Isn't
so
that
much.
beautiful?
Isn't it beautiful? I
Yes.
know. It's so divine. So I thank you so much for being here and spending time with me and spending time with our Heart and Hustle listeners. You guys, I will, of course, post all of his contact information. So if you want to talk to Mike, he will be there for you. And I am always here for you. You know that. So until we meet again, Heart and Hustle, visionary healers, movers, and shakers, I am Paulette Rees-Denis today with Mike Oglesby. And I thank you for taking time to spend with us as well. So until we meet again.